True success in education. True success in education, as in everything else, is found in keeping the future life in view. The human family have scarcely begun to live when they begin to die, and the world's incessant labor ends in nothingness unless a true knowledge in regard to eternal life is gained. He who appreciates probationary time as the preparatory school of life will use it to secure to himself a title to the heavenly mansions, a membership in the higher school. For this school the youth are to be educated, disciplined, and trained by forming such characters as God will approve. If students are led to understand that the object of their creation is to honor God and to bless their fellow men, if they recognize the tender love which the Father in heaven has manifested toward them, and the high destiny for which the discipline of this life is to prepare them, the dignity and honor of becoming the sons of God, thousands will turn from the low and selfish aims and the frivolous pleasures which have hitherto engrossed them. They will learn to hate sin and to shun it, not merely for hope of reward or from fear of punishment, but from a sense of its inherent baseness, because it is degrading to their God-given powers, a stain upon their manhood. The elements of character that make a man successful and honored among men, the irrepressible desire for some greater good, the indomitable will, the strenuous exertion, the untiring perseverance, will not be crushed out. By the grace of God they will be directed to objects as much higher than mere selfish and temporal interests as the heavens are higher than the earth. God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation, the Apostle Paul writes, through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. In this text the two agencies in the work of salvation are revealed, the divine influence, and the strong, living faith of those who follow Christ. It is through the sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth that we become laborers together with God. Christ waits for the cooperation of His church. He does not design to add a new element of efficiency to His word. He has done His great work in giving His inspiration to the word. The blood of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, the divine word, are ours. The object of all this provision of heaven is before us, the salvation of the souls for whom Christ died, and it depends upon us to lay hold on the promises God has given, and become laborers together with Him. Divine and human agencies must cooperate in the work. Everyone that is of the truth, Christ declared, heareth my voice. Having stood in the counsels of God, having dwelt in the everlasting heights of the sanctuary, all elements of truth were in Him and of Him. He was one with God. It means more than finite minds can comprehend to present in every missionary effort Christ and Him crucified. He was wounded for our transgressions, He was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Christ crucified for our sins, Christ risen from the dead, Christ ascended on high as our intercessor, this is the science of salvation that we need to learn and to teach. This is to be the burden of our work. The cross of Christ, teach it to every student over and over again. How many believe it to be what it is? How many bring it into their studies and know its true significance? Could there be a Christian in our world without the cross of Christ? Then keep the cross upheld in your school as the foundation of true education. The cross of Christ is just as near our teachers, and should be as perfectly understood by them, as it was by Paul, who could say, God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Let teachers, from the highest to the lowest, seek to understand what it means to glory in the cross of Christ. Then by precept and example they can teach their students the blessings it brings to those who bear it manfully and bravely. The Savior declares, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. And to all who lift it and bear it after Christ, the cross is a pledge of the crown of immortality that they will receive. Educators who will not work in this line are not worthy of the name they bear. Teachers, turn from the example of the world, cease to extol professedly great men, Turn the minds of your students from the glory of everything save the cross of Christ. The crucified Messiah is the central point of all Christianity. The most essential lessons for teachers and students to learn are those which point, not to the world, but from the world to the cross of Calvary. Godliness, godlikeness, is the goal to be reached. Before the student there is opened a path of continual progress. He has an object to achieve, a standard to attain, that includes everything good, and pure, and noble. He will advance as fast and as far as possible in every branch of true knowledge. But his efforts will be directed to objects as much higher than mere selfish and temporal interests as the heavens are higher than the earth. He who cooperates with the divine purpose in imparting to the youth the knowledge of God, and molding the character into harmony with his, does a high and noble work. As he awakens a desire to reach God's ideal, he presents an education that is as high as heaven and as broad as the universe, an education that cannot be completed in this life, but that will be continued in the life to come, an education that secures to the successful student his passport from the preparatory school of earth to the higher grade, the school above.